Real radio for real people, serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.
It's Hospice Vision time here on Radio Pulpit. Welcome to the program, folks, and we trust that on this Sunday morning you are truly blessed. And today we're going to talk about victory. And victory in the sense of my guest, Linda Erasmus, is with me. Linda, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Peter. It's great to be here. Exciting and a little bit nervous, but yes, exciting.
Oh, you've got a wonderful story to tell. So, Linda, you have had victory in addictions, over addictions. Tell us about that.
Well, Peter, I come from Zim. We grew up in Zimbabwe. Pretty normal life. Three siblings, father was in the army, and life was great until it wasn't. And unfortunately, I was abused at a very young age by a uncle, not a family blood uncle, and so started the journey of addiction, because I first started with, obviously, well, they say that it's overeating is an addiction caused from the abuse. And I don't know when it stopped. It must have been about the age of 10. I don't even know when it started. But then we moved to South Africa, and I was an overweight teenager, and we all know what it was like to be a teenager. We didn't grow up in a Christian home. I did go to Sunday school, so I knew about God and Jesus and singing Be a Lighthouse for Jesus. But my mom and dad weren't until many years later. My mother gave her life to Jesus. And we moved here, and I was an immigrant, didn't know Afrikaans, didn't know how to speak Afrikaans, went to school. You know what it's like starting in the middle of high school and nobody wants to be friends with you because you're an immigrant. And I found my first friend, and that's when my journey with alcohol began. Alcohol became my best friend. It was just trying to numb the pain of everything that happened in my childhood. When I did tell my mother, obviously those days, they didn't believe it. They said, stop your imagination. And yes, that was our life. And we decided, okay, what are we going to do? So we started to party.
Mm. Tell me, just as a question, if your parents didn't know about the alcohol abuse, where did you get the money to buy the alcohol?
Oh, no. They didn't know about the alcohol abuse. They didn't know about the abuse, you know, the sexual abuse.
Oh, I see.
Yes, the sexual abuse from when I was younger. No, look, obviously you hide it away. And when you're a child, you drink a little bit of theirs. You know, my mom and dad used to have their two little drinks every night. They weren't alcoholics. I know that it is a hereditary disease somewhere in the family. It was my two uncles. And also generational curse. I know a lot of people don't believe in that, but I do, going to the AA. And that's when our life began, partying, boys, looking for that love, trying to, you know, numb the pain, empty space inside. By the time I was 18, I was anorexic, because then I went totally the opposite. So it was still a fight, battle with food and then alcohol as well. And by the time I was 21, I had lost my intestines, 3/4 of my big intestine, because I took laxatives to lose weight. By the time I was 25, I had met my to-be husband and my drinking buddy. And by the time I was 26, I had my son. And I know that all this time that God was being so good to me. He had kept me safe, because it was a dangerous world. It was a dangerous thing we did. The blackouts, the men, and anything could have happened. So then my son was born, and of course the partying still went on, because my husband is still an alcoholic. And by the time, 4 years later, I found out I was pregnant, and I did give up drinking at that time. When I was pregnant, going through the blues afterwards, I relapsed when she was 4 months old, and I'd only been not drinking for a year. And just after her second birthday, I went for what they call the implant. And the implant, yes, it's just a crutch. It does help you, but it's what we call a dry drunk.
Is that something that they implant to prevent you from drinking?
Yes. It only lasts for 6 months, and apparently they say that because they make you sign a form, if you drink with it and you die, they're not held responsible. So I think it's like having an alcohol overdose if you drink with it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the drunks dig it out from underneath your skin. I was petrified with that thing, and I was petrified to drink with it, thank God, because it did keep me sober for 10 years. But I was a dry drunk. All I did was trying to make up for my children that didn't even know that I was that I'd been drinking. They just thought their mother never drank. And trying to fix my husband. Didn't know about the disease. Didn't go to something that would give me that little bit of strength. Didn't know about God. Didn't know about going to God. And 10 years later, we lost everything in 2008. My husband was without a job again, and I, going through a divorce through those 2 years and losing my father at that time, just after 2010, I relapsed for 2 years. It was terrible. It was way worse than when I used to drink before. And, of course, it was a terrible time in my children's lives because now all of a sudden their mother's drinking and they'd never thought I drank before in my life. And it was terrible. And I lost then eventually my salon. I had, by that time, had my own salon, being sober and losing cars, houses, everything. I eventually ended up at a friend's house. And 2 months, I got back onto my feet. I remember lying in that bed and reading Angus Buckham. She was shoving the Christianity down my throat. And I was like, and she said, please, my friend, try AA. And I'll never forget, it was a year after my father's passing when I was so devastated because I was in the world then. And I thought, oh, what is AA going to do for me? A bunch of old people sitting around talking about their lives, you know. And yes, I walked into the doors of AA and that was it.
And you found acceptance there.
Absolutely. Yeah. But the only thing was, I had prayed to God and I said, please God, I can't be like that. I can't do this. I had already been sober and I loved the sober life. I can't do this. And he said to me, what are you going to do about it? And was it hard? Yes, it was, because I'd lost just about everything. And I had to go and rent a chair down the road. I'd lost my salon. And look what the Lord has done. I have now, then I was sober for 4 years. And a friend came at the place I was renting a chair for. And I heard her talk about the pastor and how accurate he was with his prophecies. Mm. And I said, oh, can I come? And I know that it was God that led me there that day, because I was like mind blown. You remember, we're in a Pentecostal church, or I'm in a Pentecostal church. And I was mind blown, but I knew I was home. And since then, I had a boyfriend then that I'd been going out with for 3 years, of course, sleeping with him. And I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then I got baptized. And then I went home and told him, I'm going to break up with you because I'm going to do my life right. And he was very angry with me. I said, unfortunately, you know, I've never told you I was in love with you. And I know that God's got a journey and a purpose for me, and unfortunately, you're not in it. And these last 8 years, I've been through 2 years of Bible Institute just to get closer to God, to have a walk with Jesus. And it's been an amazing, I have a brand new car that I got 3 years ago. First thing, I don't own a house yet, but I know that God is restoring the years the locusts has eaten. I got my business back. I've got a very successful business in Centurion again. I have all my clients. It's been an amazing, amazing journey. I am nearly a grandmother of two little grandbaby boys. Tomorrow the little one's coming, the next one. And life has just been so amazing. It's just been amazing. And God has been so good to me. Mm. And I just want to encourage people out there, you know, never give up. I know what it was like to be down in that pit. God wants to help you. Jesus is waiting for you. Arms wide open. I never thought, 5 years since I've given up smoking too, I never thought for 1 minute I would be sitting here today talking to people on the radio, trying to encourage other people. The hope is amazing.
How did it happen that you stopped smoking? What, was there something specific that
you know,
you
what,
did?
It's actually a funny story, because with Apostle, he would always be like, you know, like we are really on fire church, you know. And he would say, come on, those with addictions, throw your cigarettes on the stage and come on and we'll pray for you. And you know what I mean? Spirit of addiction, be gone. And it was like, Lord, I know that I have to do this, but it was like, I'm never going to have, you know, the devil. Devil is a liar. You'll never be able to do it. You'll never be able to not go and sleeping with men. You'll never be able to do it. And I thought, I'll never be able to do it. And I would get in the car after he'd been praying for us, and I would be like, And it was just 2 weeks before the lockdown. And I said, God, it's now or never. I wanted to give up because I wanted my grandchildren to say to me one day, my granny's funky and not my granny smells like cigarette smoke, you know. Mm. And my father gave up when he was 50 and I made 51. So, and it was so easy. With God's help, it was so easy. It was absolutely amazing. And, yeah, I'm one of those bad ex-drinkers, the next smokers. You know what I mean? It's like, you stink.
Yeah, but when you smoke
when
before.
When you're smoking, you used to think, you know, oh, no, they're not going to be able to smell me at church, you know.
But now when you've stopped smoking, now stuff smells horrible, doesn't
terrible.
It?
Terrible. You know what? Even when people come in and have their hair done and it's like, ugh, it's terrible. But, yeah, I am so grateful for what God's done in my life. Mm. And, yeah, it's just been an amazing journey. And I know that if he's done it for me, he can do it for so many other people.
And your children?
My daughter had a little bit of, it's been 8 years of problems, but God has delivered her. And my son had his few problems as well. God has delivered him. They are sort of still a little bit in the world, but we keep on praying, we keep on believing. Nothing more powerful than the praying mother.
Yep, so, that is true.
Nothing more powerful than the praying mother. There was times that I thought that there was no hope. Mm. You know, like even as strong as I am and the things that I've been through with my daughter, I said, God, you know what? There's no hope for this girl. There was no hope. It was a struggle. It was like me feeling like I'm going through my whole addiction all over again, you know, except that I wasn't drinking.
Sure.
But, you know, there's always hope.
Yep, there's always hope. I like that message.
There's always hope.
Yeah. I've been talking to Linda Erasmus, sharing her testimony. Linda, a powerful testimony, and there's hope for all of us.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, and the program is Hospice Vision, and it's time for our devotion. So, Tanya, I brought you in all the way from wherever you were. Thanks for doing the devotion for us.
It's a pleasure, Peter. Yeah, the phrase they've hit rock bottom is used to characterize the impact of addiction on an addict and his family. Everybody fights bondage that has a different rock bottom. A job or a house will be lost by some. There will be fatalities among others. Rock bottom is the worst. It is utter misery and humiliation. When someone hits rock bottom, there is a powerful prayer that can turn the tide. Psalm 51, verse 1, the writer states, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." King David knew about the rock bottom. He slept with another man's wife, then had her husband sent to the front line of the battle where he would surely be killed. King David's lust and sex drive caused him to break God's rules. He lost his first baby conceived by Bathsheba. His health was affected, and he lost peace, and also his son Absalom turned against him. Rock bottom was very bad for David and his kingdom. Sin usually has many casualties. David cried out for mercy and received it. He then proclaimed in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Addictions and shame are built upon a similar set of lies. One lie that cripples addicts is, "This is the only thing that helps me cope with my problems." Shame says, "I'm not worthy fighting for," or "I'm worthless." Each statement comes from the father of all lies, for there is no truth in him, the devil. When the devil lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Do you need God to rescue you? Have you hit rock bottom yet, or close to it even? Are you feeling powerless? Is there something or someone holding you back? God loves you just as much as he loved David. If you cry out for mercy, he will hear you and respond with mercy. The nation of Israel would often cry out, "Hosanna," which means, "Lord, save us." You can also cry, "Hosanna." The merciful God will save you and deliver you. Corinthians 10 verse 13 comforts us by saying, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Today you can tap into the Deliverer. You can cast off every weight entangling you. In Alcoholics Anonymous, addicts are taught to reach out to their higher power as one of the 12 steps. I want to encourage you to do the same. I'll even tell you his name, Jesus. Jesus came to set the captives free and to proclaim it's your year to be totally free. It may take a powerful altar call, a small group, months of counseling or a prayer of deliverance. Please do whatever it takes to cast off your fear, shame, and addictions. Can you imagine living with no shame? We heard how Linda did that. She is free and in great love relationship with Jesus. What about you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know that you are always with me, but sometimes this battle feels so lonely. I don't have the strength or the courage to face my addiction on my own. I desperately want to overcome substance abuse, Lord. And so I place my biggest weakness in your powerful hands. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Amen.
And amen. Thank you very much, Tanya. Well, it's time to make some music, so let's relax and listen to the music that I'm going to play for you.
Real radio for real people, serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.
That was Manuel Escorcio with Go Tell It to the Mountain. And I trust you enjoyed it. It's a well-known song all over that I've heard it from, on the movies everywhere. Well, folks, there's just one announcement that I need to make. And I want to remind you of a course that Hospi Vision will be offering. It's relationship counseling. It's in the process of being accredited with the University of Pretoria. We're not quite sure yet, but it's a good course on relationships. So if you want to do counseling with relationships, you're welcome to attend the course. It takes place from the 18th to the 20th of November. So you need to register. You've still got quite a while. You've still got 3 weeks or so. But do register in time. Then we know exactly how many people are coming. And it will be online. It's an online course. So you can do it from the comfort of your own home. And if your boss will allow it, even the office. Well, and then if you'd like to attend this course, please let us know. And you can contact Hospi Vision at Hospi Vision head office. The number in Pretoria, 012-329-9492. And you can speak to Luvengo. She's the one that knows it all that'll help you. And then you can also send Luvengo an email on friend@hospivision.org.za. If you'd like to check out Hospi Vision's website, there's lots of information, very interesting, of what we're doing. We're quite a lot of activities, so you're welcome to go and have a check there, and that is hospivision.org.za. And if you want to send us a normal snail mail address, you're welcome, and it's PO Box 12423, Queenswood 0121. Folks, that's all for today. Thank you that you joined us, and we trusted that you enjoyed our program with us. And so to my two studio people, well, you're not a guest, Tanya, are you? You're just a part of the furniture.
Part of the furniture, yes.
Thank you for coming and thank you for the devotion. And then also thank you to you, Linda.
Oh, thank you, Peter. Thank you for having me.
And I'm going to play out with you with Great Love by Freddie Wessels. This is Peter Bonner from the Hospi Vision Studio, and I look forward to having you with me again next week.
Real radio for real people, serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.